Hello and welcome to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. This is the podcast from South Africa that deals with South African cricket, obviously, the Proteas, men's and women's teams, and with a lot of focus too on the domestic game. I'm Ken Borland, and it's a very great pleasure once again to have with me former Proteas spinner Paul Harris. Good day, Paul. How are you doing?
Very good, and yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, so the Proteas were obviously in action recently, a test series in Bangladesh. Look, I thought Bangladesh were rubbish. They've got a lot of issues going on in their camp at the moment, which we'll try and touch on. But I still thought that was a very good performance by the Proteas to win that series 2-0, and especially that second test, winning by an innings and 273 runs. What did you make of it, Paul?
Yeah, I thought we were superb. I agree that Bangladesh were equally poor, but you can only play against who you put against. And in those conditions, it's a hell of an effort from the boys. Rabada, obviously, absolutely phenomenal throughout the series and a well-deserved player of the series. And then I thought Keshav Maharaj was very good. And then our top order seemed to find some form, which was good to see. But all in all, a hell of a result in those conditions against against Bangladesh, who actually up until now have been a sort of a team that is more on the up than on the down. So, you know, a fantastic result from the boys in Bangladesh. It's not an easy place to tour. It's bloody hot. And it's it can be quite a tricky tour. So well done to them.
Yeah, chatting to Shukri Conrad before the tour, he expected it to be a very tough tour because Bangladesh have become a really difficult side in their home conditions, but they've been hit by a sort of perfect storm of problems. Their coach got fired for assaulting a player last year only. There's a new board in Bangladesh and they've decided to act on those incidents. Their captain, Najmul Hussain Shanto, has publicly said he doesn't want to be captain anymore. And their best player, Shakibal Hasan, can't come back to the country because he's part of a murder charge based on the change of government that they had in Bangladesh, and he's an MP. So that's the sort of chaos that surrounded them. But nevertheless, I mean, as you say, a fantastic batting effort setting up the win in Chattogram, and just great to see for only the second time ever in the history of Test cricket, three guys making their first hundreds in Test cricket: Tony De Zorzi, Tristan Stubbs, and Vian Mulder. Tony De Zorzi leading the way with that 177 at the top. And I'm really pleased for Tony, Paul, because I think he's kind of taken to international cricket, I think, pretty well. He's looked solid at the top there. And for me, it was just a matter of time before he got a big one. What have you also thought that he's been looking pretty good and this innings was a reward for a good start to his international career?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's matured as a cricketer. I think he knows his game a lot better now than he did maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Natural as a batter. He's matured nicely. He's certainly, the way he plays spin has come on in leaps and bounds, using the sweep and the reverse sweep, not only to sort of hit boundaries, but to get off strike, which is key in those conditions. It's not allow a bowler to bowl many balls at you and set you up and eventually get you out. So, yeah, you know, maybe he was a bit frustrated with himself getting in a couple times and not going on and getting a big one. But this time, certainly he did. And you know, I think it's a lot of hard work and determination that has got him there. And it looks like he's there to stay. But it's always looked like he belonged at that level. You know, like you said, a matter of time before, you know, 100 came. He plays well in South African conditions. He's got a decent technique. Good old-fashioned opening batsman. And it's always nice when your opening batter score runs. It really does set the rest of the batting lineup up nicely.
Yeah, and then Tristan Stubbs in at number three, making 106. They put on 201 together, De Zorzi and Stubbs, for the second wicket. Stubbs is a bit of a project of Shukri Conrad's, moving him up to number three. Not everyone has agreed with it, but I think he's made a very good start to his test career now here at number three with a century, and he had a half century as well earlier.
Look, he's one of those guys that has presence at the crease. He, you know, he's obviously applied his trade in the T20 format, the shortest format of the game, and done incredibly well. Become almost a household name in the cricket circles. There was always a question mark around him at Test cricket. Did he have the technique to be able to sort of defend and play the short ball? The answer to that question is emphatically yes. But the jury is still out for me at number three. I think in the subcontinent, a bit different. In home conditions with the ball going around, I think 5-6 is better suited for him. But again, Shukri sees something in him. He sees that number three is the spot for him, and that's where he'll bat. But time will tell whether that's the right position for him. I certainly think he's the right player for South Africa. Just for some reason, he just looks like he's an imposing character. He's tall. He's a well-built guy. He's got that presence at the crease that you want from a number three and or at least a top water batter. So well done to him as well. I think also a lot of hard work there. I think a bit more pressure on him because a lot of people are having a look at him to see if he can actually make it at test level because he's been so good in the white ball stuff. So great to see him come through. And it wasn't a swashbuckling innings. It was a hard-working sort of, we all know he can hit the ball off the ground. And he did a couple of times in that knock, but he had to work really hard and select the right ones to hit. And also, got off strike really well with the reverse sweep.
Yeah, his strike rate was only 53.53 compared to De Zorzi's 65.79. David Beddingham, he got 59 at a strike rate of 75.64. And Senuan Mutsutsami then came in at the death and whacked 68 not out at a strike rate of 90. But the other Centurion, Vian Mulder, 105 not out at a strike rate of 70. And I just think he is starting to really flourish at international level, probably a bit because Shukri Conrad has really put trust in him in the team. And Vian has spoken before about how he felt maybe he lacked a bit of belief at international level, but that really seems to be there now. And I mean, it was interesting. We had a media sort of opportunity with Shukri Conrad before the tour, and I was kind of asking him because I felt selection-wise for the two tests in Bangladesh, it might come down to, depending on conditions, Vian Mulder or Senuan Mutsutsami playing, either a pace bowling all-rounder or a spin bowling all-rounder. And Shukri said, no, Vian plays. Whatever happens, Vian Mulder plays. And Paul, I think that's the sort of belief that's really bringing out the best out of Mulder now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's proving me wrong again. I didn't think he did either of the two well enough to get a spot in the test side, but certainly as adding all rounder, he's showing us what he can do. I do see a bit more of a maturity about him. He seems a lot calmer at the crease, and then with the ball in hand, he in that first test, he really did set the pace. He was really good in those first 10 overs and put Bangladesh on the back foot. I just think there's a lot of confidence in him right now. Maybe that is partly from the backing of Shukri Conrad and getting more opportunities and not having that pressure of, if I don't do really well in this game, I won't play the next, which does make a big difference. But also, I think there's a maturity to his game. Played quite a bit of first-class cricket now. A bit older, a bit wiser. Although he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but a bit older, a bit wiser, and knows his game a bit better. It's going to be an interesting selection dilemma for the selectors at home, because there I think that you might want your sort of out-and-out fast bowlers, but certainly he has been phenomenal since Shukri's taken over.
Yeah, Vian Mulder is only 26. So it's kind of the age when you expect someone to really start understanding their game and really start coming through at international level. Just looking at the bowling, Paul, and Kagiso Rabada in that first innings, just absolutely amazing. 5 for 37 to really rock Bangladesh right from the outset. And, we know all about, his record, the fastest to 300 wickets in terms of the number of balls it's taken, 700, 800 balls quicker than the great Waqar Yunus did it. And I always think when we discuss the greatest fast bowlers of all time, one of the sort of KPIs that I always look at is how they performed in the subcontinent. And some of the guys haven't done that well in the subcontinent. I just think, like Dale Steyn before him, that's one of the things that separated Dale Steyn, I think, from the rest was how well he bowled in the subcontinent. And it looks like Rabada is getting there as well now because the way he bowled in that first innings, in conditions that really aren't that favorable for fast bowling, just incredible, wasn't it, Paul?
It was. Look, you run out of superlatives for Kagiso Rabada. He's just in my opinion, best bowler by a long way in the world. Maybe Bumrah's up there as well, but very, very, he's an exceptional bowler. His stats don't lie. Stats are your CV in cricket. And you know, he's of the best ever. If you look at it from a sort of fastest to 300 in terms of balls, you know, I don't think he possibly gets as much credit as he deserves as some of the other fast bowlers around the world. But certainly an absolute gem for this African team. And he looks fresh. He looks strong. He looks rearing to go. I thought sort of to the back end of last season, it's quite tired, but I think he had played almost every game that we had. So you know, managing his workload is going to be key. And you know, if he has to miss a couple of white ball games so that he can play Test cricket, I'm all for that. We saw what he can do, you know, in conditions that were, I mean, pretty flat to be honest, especially for seam bowlers. In that second Test match, came in and sort of ripped the heart out of the Bangladeshi batters, and also bowling quickly again. You know, he's in the high 140s. You know, he's hitting the deck hard. He's getting the ball in the right areas, and he's getting it to nip around. So. Look, I mean, he's my favorite cricketer at the moment. Maybe Kesh is up there, so maybe I'm lying a little bit, but he's certainly right up. He's fantastic to watch. He's the type of guy that you will put it, you know, you'll turn your TV on if you know he's bowling. So, you know, he's fantastic to watch, and long may he continue.
Yeah, 313 test wickets now in 66 matches, an average of just 21. I mean, it's phenomenal. And actually interviewed KG this week, and he made it clear that he's very happy to be resting at the moment, and Test cricket and winning the ODI World Cup, those are his two priorities at the moment, which is great to hear. Paul Harris, we know you love Keshav Marad. You've had a big role with him as a mentor. And that second innings, it was interesting because you mentioned how hot it is in Bangladesh, and it was particularly hot during this Test match. And everyone sort of thought, after Bangladesh rolled over for 159, given the workload of the bowlers and the heat, that South Africa would give them a rest and bat again. But no, apparently it was Aidan Markram's decision to enforce the follow-on. And I think, in a way, it was his way of saying, okay, we've shown you what our bowlers can do, led by Rabada. Second innings, our spinners are going to bowl you out. And I think it was almost like a statement that in Keshav Maharaj, we have an absolute world-class spinner, definitely one of the best in the world. And Mutsam is pretty decent as well. I mean, between them, they took 9 wickets.
Look, I think that it was a pretty easy decision for him, to be honest. You know, if you look at it in continental conditions, in that first innings, our spinners were underbowled. That's only because of how well Rabada did. You know, we didn't need to bowl them as much. They bowled, but not as much. So you know, they really work pretty fresh, the spin bowlers. And you know, and I think he had seen enough in that first innings to realize there was quite a bit there for the spinners. So it wasn't like you know, it had flattened out, or you know, this sort of spinning incredibly slowly. It was going. So you know, I don't think it was a particularly difficult decision, especially when you get that many. You get that many in the first innings. I mean, you kind of know that the follow on is, you know, if you're going to win the game, that's where you're going to go with it. So I wasn't overly surprised with it. I think if they'd gone sort of 80, 90 overs in that first innings, that might have been a different topic. But because they bowled them out so quickly and the spinners were fresh, it was a pretty easy decision. And then the spinners came in, and I mean, they did a phenomenal job. I mean, Mutsami bowled, I thought, and then Keshav Maharaj, who, you know, if it's not Rabada, it's him whose name's on the first on the team sheet in a test match. You know, again, getting a fifer, I think that was an important one for him. I think he really wanted that one. You know, to bowl a team out in the sub on the last, you know, in the fourth innings is what you're there for. So, well done to both the spinners. I didn't think Kesh bowled particularly well in that first test match. I told him that, in fact, and searching for too much. You don't need to search on the wickets. There's enough in it for you. You know, you just got to hit the right areas at the right pace, and the rest will take care of itself. And that's exactly what he did in that second test match. You just ball off the ball, landing the ball in the right place. Yes, you can mix your sort of pace up, but the name of the game is to stop people from scoring on those wickets, and you know, the wicket is enough where you're going to get opportunities.
We've spoken a lot on this podcast about how brilliant Keshav Maharaj is, but what do you like about Senuan Mutsami's bowling?
I think again, his control's got a lot better from when I last saw him. I haven't seen a lot of him in the last few years. I don't think many have. You know, he's just sort of with Kesh there, it's quite difficult to get a gig in the test side, and it's really going to spin. Look, he offers you quite a bit with a bat. You know, he offers you in conditions that are sort of, helpful. Like in the subcontinent, he offers you quite a bit with the ball. I've seen certainly a maturity about his bowling in the last little while. Used to bowl, quite a few short deliveries and got quite a bit. Whereas in this particular test match, he bowled the ball nice and full and a good length, and he gave the ball a good rip. So certainly a much improved performance from when I last saw him play. And look, it bodes well for South African cricket if we've got guys like him in the wings. Now, you never know what can happen to a guy like Kesh, God willing, nothing, but anything can happen. And, having your stocks as good as that with another left-arm spinner that could come in, that can batter, but if needed, is always a good thing.
Yeah, so the 2-0 series win for South Africa and Bangladesh has kept them very much in contention for a place in the World Test Championship final. Even though we've dropped to fifth in the standings at the moment because of New Zealand's phenomenal win over India, 3-0 whitewash in India, hell of a result that. And Sri Lanka have done well recently as well. But there are four tests left for us in this World Test Championship cycle. They're all at home. We play Sri Lanka in at Kingsmead and at St. George's Park. And then we play Pakistan at Supersport Park and at Newlands. If the Proteas win all four of those games, they will definitely be in the World Test Championship final, because they'll have it works on percentages, winning percentage of your games. So we'll have a winning percentage of 69.44 if we win these last four tests, and no one's going to be able to catch that. Even a couple of draws and two wins could be enough, depending on the results of really exciting series between Australia and India. In Australia and England are going to New Zealand. Paul, just let's deal with the Sri Lanka series coming up first. We're playing them in Durban and Gqeberha, which are the two venues a few years ago where Sri Lanka beat the Proteas 2-0. What do you think is going to happen this time around?
Yeah, but odd to be playing them on those two grounds. I mean, I wouldn't. I would be playing as many as I can up country against subcontinental teams. But we'd like to roll out the carpet, it seems, for them when they come here. We don't typically get green numbers and bright flags when we go to the subcontinent. So a bit odd that this is happening. But it is what it is. Look, I still think we should have enough firepower no matter what. We've noticed that if the ball turns, we can play it. If it's slow, we can play it. And obviously, if there's a bit of bounce and a bit of carry, we've got the guys that can really send the ball down. So we shouldn't have too many issues. I think they might play a part. It always does, mainly in Durban and bad light. That could be, sort of the one issue that could derail it. But I don't see any issues, really. We shouldn't have, anyway, against Sri Lanka. And then the poor old Pakistanis have got us at Supersport Park, where we don't lose too many at all, and Newlands, where we don't lose too many. So that, I think we should win at least three of them, you would imagine. I don't see those teams really putting too much. Look, you've got to play well to beat them, but they shouldn't threaten us too much in our home conditions. If we were playing them away, it'd be a different story. But in South African conditions, if the groundsman can wake up and get our pitches right, I think that's a huge problem in cricket at the moment. Is it's either it's either a green mamba and go all over the show and borderline dangerous, or it turns in the first session. All we need is we get bouncers and carries. And that's a good cricket wicket. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking for. Our guys can play the bouncy ball better than most, and they don't play particularly well. So if our groundsmen can get the wickets right, we shouldn't have an issue.
That's pretty much exactly what Shukri Conrad said when he was asked about, are we going to prepare real seam-friendly pitches against Sri Lanka? He said all he wants is good, and that playing at home, we should back ourselves to always beat Sri Lanka. So let's just hope that, as you say, that Kingsmead doesn't turn from day one, because that would just be playing into Sri Lanka's hands, no doubt about it. But just a good, decent cricket wicket that helps the seamers for the first couple of days, and then maybe the spinners come into it on the last day. But speaking
about,
of spinners,
it's more about bounce than anything else, really. Yes. I mean, it's that good carry to go through with a good bounce. Mm-hmm. Spins on the fourth and fifth day, that's not the end of the world. That's perfect. That's what you want in the test. But you don't want it spinning from sort of session one against a subcontinental team. You want your seamers to be in the game, and you back your batters in these conditions that they know very well to be able to, take whatever the opposition throws at them.
Absolutely, yeah. And we saw the Tom spinners shining in Bangladesh, winning that second test, 9 wickets in the second innings. The left-arm spinners, Paul Harris, you'll be delighted to know, also dominating in domestic cricket. We had the first round of action recently completed, and Aaron Pangisa, the 40-year-old, not only made the highest score of the match, 73, when the Free State Knights went to Paarl to take on Borland, but he also got 6 wickets in the match. And the two teams were level pegging after the first innings. They each took 266. Free State then made 291 in their second innings. Dion Forster made 71. They then shot Borland out for 122 on the last day. I mentioned Aaron Pangisa getting 3 wickets, but Johan van Dyk, the fast bowler who I quite like the look of, if he could just stay injury free, he took 5 for 28, giving him 9 wickets in the match. So Free State won that match by 169 runs. And at Kingsmead, the Dolphins took on Western Province, and it was a fairly typical Kingsmead pitch with the spinners dominating. Prelin Sibrian took 10 wickets in the match. Kyle Simmons took 9. Sibrian's an off-spinner, of course, and Kyle Simmons, an on-spinner. But it was Western Province who won that match, bowling the Dolphins out for 190 in the fourth innings to win by 51 runs. Young Daniel Smith made 92 on the first day, which was a very good effort. But Paul, what do you think about first of all, Kyle Simmons as a bowler?
Yeah, look, again, the guys are seriously improved. I mean, I think all he needed was game time. I think he's gone the hard route. He's moved around a bit, found himself now at Western Province, and he's getting game time, which is what he needed. He needed to bowl a lot of overs and get that confidence in his game. I'm not surprised that the wickets are turning a bit in South Africa with all the heat around, especially up country. We have a lot of rain, so it's pretty dry. So the spinners are going to be in the game, but you can be in the game. You still got to make it count, and it's good to see these guys all doing it. Glad for Pungi. He doesn't 4-day cricket's not really been his forte. It's been more 1-day stuff. So good to see him really performing in 4-day cricket. And good to see the spinners doing well. It's always good to have your stocks. Have a large amount of guys that are knocking on that door. And I always said, I mean, I saw Simmons the first time. I said, this is someone that could potentially, play a part in South African cricket at a higher level. They've got an absolute gun that is in the team ahead of them. So, that's the hard part. That's the unlucky part of sport. Timing is also a big thing. And I just don't see anyone in the country right now better than Keshav Maharaj.
Yeah, indeed. And Prinilin Sibrian, off-spinner, takes heaps of wickets
He
for
does.
the Dolphins. It seems that Dane Peters, the number one off-spinner in the country at the moment. But how close do you think Sibrian is to him? Is he pushing him hard for a spot in the Proteas setup?
Jeez, I thought he should have played ahead of him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he's been a performer, say, for a very long time. His game's also improved a lot. He doesn't bowl the ball as flat as he does in white ball cricket. He gives it a bit of air. He's turning the ball well, getting good revs in it. He's got incredible control, and he's something different. He's got a different sort of action. It's not the classical. It's the classical off spinner action. So I didn't think Dane Peters was very good at all in that Test match that he played. It's a different level, going up from being in the US to coming back and playing some first cricket and then playing Test cricket. It's a completely different level. I think Sibrian's a more hardened cricketer. So I was surprised if you're going to play an off spinner, if it's not Simon Harmer, who I think's the best going around, then it's got to be Sibrian. He really has smashed that door down. So he can kind of stop, I think, a bit unlucky not to have played. But if he keeps doing what he's doing, it's going to be very difficult the next time we have a wicket where we're going to play two spinners not to pick him.
Yeah, Dane Peat was left out for the second test in Bangladesh. Senuan Mutisami coming in and doing extremely well in that match. The other 4-day domestic game that was played in the first round We mentioned Daniel Smith getting 92 for Western Province. Well, there were a number of near misses at St George's Park, where Eastern Province hosted the Northwest Dragons. For Eastern Province, Jordan Hadaman made 99. A new face, Matthew de Villiers, 94. And for Northwest, Rowan de Swart made 92 and then 87 not out. And he also took 5 wickets in the first innings. Clearly a very handy cricketer, Rowan de Swart. He did, of course, play those tests in New Zealand at the start of the year when South Africa took a weakened team over to New Zealand. You've seen much of Rowan de Swart, Paul?
Look, what I saw of him didn't really fill me with much hope for Test match level, to be honest with you. Doesn't really bowl with much pace, and sort of I didn't see much of him with a bat. I think we've got plenty of all-rounders to fill that role. Unfortunately for him, I think obviously a very good first-class cricketer, but in terms of Test cricket, I mean, you want to be something special. I don't see it, but having said that, I didn't see it with Mulder either, and he's proving me wrong. So he keeps knocking that the door down, keeps scoring runs and getting fifers. You never know. But from what I saw, not so much.
Yeah, that match at St George's Park ended in a draw, with Eastern Province making 386 for 8 declared in their second innings. Also half centuries for Sinathemba Qashile. Matthew de Villiers made runs again in the second innings, 58. Patrick Kruger 79, and Duan Wolifia of all people 60 not out. So Northwest was set over 440 to win, and they held on to finish 328 for 8, thanks to Rowan de Swart, 87 not out, and there were also half centuries for Ruben Harriman and Miguel Pretorius with 3 wickets each for Swanepoel and for Harriman. The sort of other fixture in the 4-day series, which wasn't played at the same time as those other games, is between the Lions and the Titans at the Wanderers. It's currently underway, and Paul Harris, you'll be very happy to hear that the Titans have come back really strongly in that game. The Lions made 316 in their first innings, having elected to bat first. At one stage, they were 155 for 1, with Dominic Hendricks scoring 67 and Zubair Hamza 84. But then Corbin Bosch bowled particularly well. Took 4 for 71. The Titans were in all sorts of trouble with the bat, 132 for 6 in reply. But then Andile Paklakwaya scored 88 and Corbin Bosch 59 to get the Titans up to 302. So just a small first innings deficit. And then this afternoon, they've just ripped through the Lions' second innings. They reduced them to 4 for 4. And there's been a little bit of a recovery led by Zubair Hamza, and the Lions are currently 65 for 5 on the third afternoon there. So, Paul, it looks like the Titans could be making a strong start to the 4-day competition, losing finalists, of course, to the Lions in the T20 Challenge. What do you make of the current Titans setup? They haven't won a trophy now for a little while, and for a franchise with such a proud history, you were part of that. Do you think the pressure's on a bit there?
I think that we're definitely, and I know it definitely will be. It's a franchise or a team that pride themselves on winning trophies. These things do go in cycles, however, having said that, but there will be some pressure there. Good to see they've made a good start to the season. It was a pity in that final they were rubbish. I watched that. It was actually ruined. I thought I had a hangover on that Sunday, and it actually made it worse. Actually made it worse watching them back. So they've made a good start to the 4-day stuff, which is the main competition in my opinion. Winning that I think is what every cricketer wants to do. But yeah, that trophy cabinet been a bit bare the last little while. So there'll be pressure on the coaching staff there. I know they brought in Albie Morkel as well. He knows about winning trophies. They do that. He's bolstered that coaching lineup. So I see them going from strength to strength season. There's because some good signs. If a guy like Corbin Bosch can stay injury free, I think he's a serious cricketer. If he can stay injury free and play a whole season and be backed up with some good stuff with the bat from his team, I think that they've got a good chance to win a trophy this season. But again, it's they've got themselves into quite a few finals the last little while, and seem to have lost them. So they're almost there, but not quite.
Yeah, and just speaking of the Titans, their women's side, the Fidelity Titans, won their first match of the season last weekend, beating the Lions in the 50-over game, but they lost to the Lions in their T20 outing. At the moment, the HollywoodBets Pro Series for the ladies is being dominated by the Dolphins. They're unbeaten so far this season in both competitions, and they went to Bloemfontein last weekend and beat the Friesland Knights in both matches. Well, that's all we have for you on this episode of the Dot Ball Podcast. It's a very big thank you to Paul Harris for his time and his insight once again. Hopefully the Titans don't make your hangovers worse any longer this season, and certainly not the Proteas. Hopefully the Proteas give you hangovers,
Yes.
give us all hangovers. Rather than make them worse in for the rest of this year. Don't forget that you can follow us on X at Dot Ball Podcast. We'd love to hear from you and get your messages or your questions. Thanks very much, Paul, and thanks very much to our producer John Carricker. And until we meet again, a very good bye.